And if you see an idea that similar to the people that are different like that, you would love to hear that too. The different ideas that they welcome development of the ideas that are which is welcome or really
yeah, just to reiterate that point of our report, the ideas that are there, and we really scale it to ideas. We think that that is actually one of the things we're looking for.
What we're starting to hear is these discussions is, as we talk about these ideas, to start filling them in a bit. So feedback of that type as well. And then the other thing is just, again, this is part of an ongoing process. Please, you know, give us your feedback today. We have a dedicated email set up, ssreview@cornell.edu. Send in comments. There's the blog site. Hasn't been very active as much as we expected, but again, we're sort of monitoring that so you can go there. We want to keep hearing from people.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I would like to open the floor to questions and any issues that we also have some visitors joining us this afternoon. So thank you all for being here. The floor is open for questions.
Does this also affect the endowed state divide crossing borders there?
That would be, it's everything. We're considering everything about the social sciences. So there's great strength in the social sciences in the contract colleges and also in the endowed colleges. And that would be a great example of one of the things we didn't talk about as a committee, you know, when we would talk about a specific. Yeah, well, what would be the impact of the contract college versus the endowed, the mixed public? We didn't go there. That's probably something that needs to be developed with any idea that goes forward, but the committee didn't discuss that.
But there are instances of units right now that cross the divide. So economics departments, three biology departments, and a few others as well.
How can the employee assembly assist future committee work going forward? What can we bring to the table to support these efforts in developing the ideas?
I think we designed a process that was, we are talking about academic organization fundamentally. So started with a faculty committee, but we designed a process that I think this is the 25th, 24th or 25th time I've heard Judy or Ted go through those three slides. So we've gone around to all the assemblies now. I think unfortunately the employee assembly was the last that was scheduled. We've been in the faculty senate, we've been to departments, we've been meetings with chairs, meetings with colleges that included staff in colleges. So we're trying to get as much feedback as possible and trying to facilitate a thoughtful conversation about these ideas. And I think we've gotten a lot of strong and useful impact from both staff and faculty and students. I think the best thing would be to get real feedback from staff about these ideas, about thinking about what could position us for excellence. And I've said in several forums, we're we tend to, with the academy, have a status quo bias. You know, we don't change a whole lot, and so it's very easy to be opposed to ideas, and that's fine. But it's also valuable for us to hear what people are for, what people like, and think could be effective. And so I've asked people not just to say what scares me or what I'm opposed to, but also what I think could be effective and helpful.
I would just add that every group that we speak to brings a different lens to the report, and those perspectives are really, really valuable. So Ted's reminded everybody about the email address. Certainly we're listening today, but we're really interested in hearing from all of these different perspectives about what you see in the ideas list. I know a few people in the room, and so I'm imagining that in terms of direct contribution, there will be an administrative structures committee that's going to be formed, and there are issues that you all deal with in your work that are going to be on that list of tasks for that group. So we may be looking for volunteers to serve on that committee.
Fantastic. Well, we have several new faces as members of the Employee Assembly now, and a lot of folks are eager to find areas where they can contribute to the overall mission within the university and the different initiatives.
Great. And then I'll just add one other thing, and that is people who are new to the university, if there are any of those individuals in the room, or if you have experience at another institution, that perspective is very helpful. So for those of us who have been here I've been here in 1982, and I haven't been at another university. People who come from other institutions say, well, you know, this is how it worked there, and they're alive and well and breathing and recruiting students and everything's good there. So that perspective is really helpful too, if we've got new people.
Do you think with the administrative committee review, do you think there'll be any talk about positions being eliminated, additional positions being added, that kind of conversation? Or are you just trying to keep it status quo in terms of the positions we've got now and just let them basically through attrition?
Yeah. So I said from the beginning, this is not about staff reduction. It's not about faculty reduction. It's about organizing ourselves in the best possible way. So I could imagine, and I said there won't be staff reductions that come out of this. One of the things on the other side of that we're trying to figure out is where we should invest in social science, where investments would be productive and most effective. But it certainly, it is possible, lots of outcomes that we don't know where exactly this is going to go. We don't have a defined pathway or decision. That's why we're listening. But I could see outcomes that create efficiencies, as Judy mentioned, you know, whether it's super departments or something of that nature. And there, what we would do is have this work over time and not be an abrupt transition that causes people to lose their job.
Thank you.
That's the upside of the zero-sum thing, right?
Because yes.
You've got a $200 million endowment, but you're also not aiming to reduce
right. Yeah.
Costs.
Pilar, then Andrea.
So going on that same thread, and you did mention investment, not necessarily looking at financial per se, but one of the worries for staff is obviously reduction, but if we're reorganizing, that tends to be efficiency in protocols, procedures, process. Would training and assisting staff into those new roles be a part of the?
Oh, absolutely. If we are asking people to do different jobs,
right.
Upgrade or change their horizon, we would absolutely combine that with training and appropriate preparation. That's a great point, Pilar. And I would say the investment part is, you know, one of the things I've been trying to do in a measured way is pursue institutional goals that individual colleges can't can't necessarily pursue on their own, where they cross colleges, and that's what the radical collaborations are about. And the idea would be here to sort of use that as a way to get more interactions or more focused excellence in, institutionally in areas through a radical collaboration type investment.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Andrea?
I was pleased to hear the value-based institutional commitment to diversity and inclusion within the context of your overall goal and perspective. I'm just curious, what aspect, how do you believe that you would go about assuring diversity and inclusion, and what aspects of diversity and inclusion are you considering? Is it just one aspect of a gender, or other aspects of diversity?
Well, I mean, I think we're considering the committee thinking of essentially all aspects. And I mean, a little bit how we came down on this, as we kind of hinted in the report, is sort of as we thought about different structures, it wasn't clear that sort of any structure was targeted specifically at diversity, but they all create scope. So one of the things that I'll say from my role as a senior associate dean is, big thing with diversity hiring and whatnot is having flexibility, and sort of the more sort of that we, the more that you have sort of multiple places to go to and multiple ways to think about things, that just helps with that hiring side of things. A lot of these structures help in that dimension.
I would just add to that on the inclusion side of things. I mean, one of the potential opportunities I see here is creating the kind of environment that is broader than perhaps the way we are currently organized, which is many small units that themselves can struggle in terms of inclusion and recruiting diversity. And so I do think that's a potential, but I don't want to overstate it. By itself is not going to solve the issue.
Gina?
I have a quick question. You mentioned you're sort of, you've done this robust listening tour, and at such time as that wraps up, will the feedback from that you've gathered be implemented in such a way that the community would have another opportunity to sort of see how the deck is reshuffled, and then what's the timeline for any implementation?
Yeah, so we're talking about next steps now, and I think the likely thing will be now, having gotten feedback, getting groups of faculty together to evaluate that feedback, think about perhaps the next iteration of what of these ideas, what people are excited about, what people are less excited about, what would be possible, and then maybe refine some of these into some things that are proposals that would then come back and be subject to the same kind of process of a broad community discussion. To the timeline, Marcino, we don't have a timeline. I mean, I think we said from the beginning we're going to take as long as it takes to do this. If we say, you know, we're going to make a decision by this sort of date, I'm just concerned that it will not give us the kind of time and opportunity to make to have the discussions we need to have and get people comfortable with these ideas. So I expect this will go into the fall at least, and we'll be having these discussions next semester.
Thank
you. Anne.
So I have heard, hi, I'm Ann Sievering, and I actually am one of the new EA members, and I represent the ILR school. So I have heard your presentation to the ILR school, and I just wanted, for the benefit of the EA members, perhaps who haven't been there, to articulate that the ILR school faculty, staff, alums, former deans, and everybody has stood in strong opposition to one of the proposals, and that is the merger of the...
One of the ideas.
Yes. One of the ideas is that's the merger of the ILR school and the human ecology school. And so I just wanted to make it known that, you know, 84.2% of staff members who, you know, completed a survey that was fielded in the ILR school. It was a very simple survey. Do you support the merger? And please let us know why, yes or no. The staff, you know, just uniformly, or 84.2%, opposed the merger. And we sort of wanted to just impress upon you that this is a sort of like a school-wide thing, a university, you know, sort of like a whole ILR school feeling. And I don't know why that particular proposal has been discussed way more than others. I think maybe because it would directly impact a whole bunch of people, and the others are sort of like, can't get a feel for exactly who would be impacted. And so we have just wondered what it is that you would see. If you've asked us to walk in that idea, but what is it that you see in walking in the idea of the merger with the ILR school and the human ecology school? And what are the costs and benefits, and how would that sort of like get us where we want to go with the social sciences?
So the walking inside it, this is, if you look at that idea in the report, I think it's kind of a long list of ups and downs associated with them. And that was because once the committee walked inside it, they actually discussed it for a long time. And after the initial reaction, which was by the committee, which was similar to the reaction from ILR, which was, what kind of an idea is this? They started to think about what could happen there, and some interesting ideas came forward in terms of connections between some of the departments in the College of Human Ecology and the work in ILR, whether it would position a combined unit to be a home for public policy. Those things are actually in the report. So all of the discussion that the committee had, as skeletal as this report is, it's all in the report. We didn't talk about other things and then not put them in the report. Everything we talked about is there. And we, as we said, as Ted mentioned before, this is really just a sketch. It's a very preliminary idea. What does happen if you bring those two units together on the most simple, fundamental level is you aggregate a large number of social scientists on campus in one college. And this distributed nature of social sciences on campus is one of the sum of the parts things. So you have about 60 social scientists, maybe 50 in ILR. You have a large percentage of 100 faculty in human ecology, maybe 70 to 80, that are also social scientists. So it would bring a large number of social scientists into one unit, whatever it would be called. So it's a massing effect. Now, if that massing effect doesn't make any sense, if it doesn't give you academic opportunities, then maybe it's not a good idea. But it is one idea that the committee considered. Maybe that's enough for me to say.
Yeah. You want to go, Ted?
I mean, I was just going to add, though. I mean, one of the things that we were hoping to hear more of is as we went through sort of meetings and discussions this spring and summer, is at least sort of faculty take the time, walk through, think about what would it look like, and then after they thought through what it would look like, if they rejected it at that point, sort of that feels more thoughtful in some sense.
I understand that, yeah. But sitting where we sit, it's a little bit threatening, because what it looks like to me as a staff member in the ILR school is that they will be, that is designed to bring about efficiencies in units, efficiencies in groups, efficiencies in organization, that would eliminate a significant number of staff positions, because why would you have two career services offices and two admissions offices? And so it does seem that, you know, it's designed for fiscal efficiencies, which I understand and I get, but at the same time, sitting where I sit, it seems somewhat threatening. And I think an idea that would be understandable when you receive it from your point of view, that we might see it as such.
I agree, Anne, and I would just say that, again, the rationale for this is not those efficiencies. It has to have an academic benefit. And let me give you a couple, and you've probably heard me say this at the meeting. I think there are other advantages, potentially. There are also disadvantages, but you've asked for the potential advantages. We have two schools that are not well understood by the general public. I think we understand what ILR is, and we understand what human ecology is, but they're not really well understood. We had an example of this with applied economics management, or the Dyson School, which was not really understood as the place you go to Cornell for on general undergraduate business education. The first year after we put Dyson in the College of Business, applications doubled. The public understood where to go to apply to Cornell if you wanted to study undergraduate business. ILR has, in the face where almost everyone else's applications are going up, ILRs have been going down for the last 2 years. Not a lot, not a big threat, but certainly not growing. Human ecology has a collection of social sciences and policy focus that are focused on social policy and health policy. ILR has a great focus on labor policy. There are some potential synergies here that could create a school of what one embodiment of this is a focus on public policy that's much more recognizable outside of the domain of Cornell. Now, so that's one.
So am I hearing that the goal is to increase applications?
Well, no, that could be one advantage. It could be one advantage if we're as we walk into these ideas, we try and think about what would be the outcomes of this. What could we create? One thing is the synergies between faculty, the ability to recruit, the ability, if you're bringing individuals that are world-class in policy, as we're recruiting, you're recruiting into a known policy environment with lots of individuals, as opposed to a department like PAM or a smaller school like ILR. So there is this massing effect and advantage of a critical mass. There's also a student advantage. There's also ability to think about our undergraduate education or our offerings in a way that collaborates in policy and doesn't separate a little bit. So those are the advantages. I don't want to, whether they are compelling or not, I think is the argument we'd like to hear. But I do think just saying I'm threatened by this, I don't see any advantages, is probably not doing what Judy suggested the committee does, which is honestly discuss an idea as something that we're going to look at the pluses and the minuses. I can iterate minuses as well, and I've heard many of those, and I understand them. But I do think we want to be intellectually honest about the discussion.
If I just can go back to the efficiency, and I can understand that logic, that, why do you need two admissions departments? The committee never discussed that. So economic efficiency was not part of our conversation. It was about opportunity for academic stature and positioning Cornell to be outstanding in the social sciences. And we just didn't get to that level of operations and what it would mean in terms of economic efficiency. We didn't consider that. So it does, you don't see it really very, if there's a reference to it in the report, most of the, like the duplication comments, that has to do with faculty burden, right? So a faculty member has to be the DUS, and then the faculty member has to leave the DUS position and become the DGS, and then the next thing they're going to become is the department chair, because there are only 8 people in the department, and things just have to cycle like that. So this was a faculty group, they were pretty focused on those things. But efficiency was not at the top of our, we didn't aim for that.
Let's just ask one more question. Can we assume or sort of understand that whatever idea gets, you know, approved and implemented, that there will be sort of additional funds brought in? Or is this, I mean, I'm curious about, I understand that you couldn't, you know, say $200 million in a pot and go for it. But I assume that in doing this, there are going to be, you know, additional funds needed and will be allocated.
Yeah, there will be investments in the social sciences. Where and how, we haven't decided yet, but there will be investments in the social sciences, absolutely.
So I haven't read the list of ideas, and this may be a naive question, but is one idea keep the status quo? Are we, there is a determination changes have to happen, and it's now a question of what will they be?
I wouldn't state it quite as starkly as you stated, but I would say that if you look at these reviews, and they're all on the website, go back to 1965, many of them cycle the same concerns every 6, 7, 8 years. And in some cases, those concerns, the idea of having a larger scale social sciences center, for example, we have an uncountable number of little centers that impact the social sciences. And every college has several centers, and we have some university. What we don't have is a center that brings people together, projects us outward, and enhances Cornell's reputation in a major way, where people will say, oh, that's the social sciences center where, things like that, I'm committed to try. I don't want to leave having been provost and have the next provost or the provost after that read this thing and say, didn't fix that or didn't do anything to address that. So I think something, my own, I'm being very frank, my own feeling is we really, there are some ideas here that we need to pursue, but I'm not, and Martha Pollack is not yet convinced that we know the answer, we have the right thing to do.
Thank you.
But it's an interesting argument because what I find is people immediately go to, why do we have to change? It's like somehow we've evolved through this chaos to the perfect organization over time, and there's no reason to mess with it. I don't think it's
that was awesome. You know,
Hey, everybody. I can maybe speak to that a little bit. I'm Chris Barth. I'm a new employee assembly member. I work on the IT research and I work at CIT representative. It sounds like this, being in IT, we get tasked to combine departments and move things around. And initially, it's always an identity and culture problem. Like, it's sort of like you guys are talking about potentially taking Giants and the Eagles and putting them together to make the super team, but you've got all these people who have all their, you know, jerseys and everything, and they're like,
Giants
we're doing
and Eagles will never work.
Yeah, that's right.
Cowboys and Eagles will never work.
And I did miss the beginning because of an audio situation. However, you know, I can see the opportunity that you guys are proposing, but we kind of, I guess, need to think about you know, comparing the schools, and I'll have to catch up on the reading, but like comparing what the schools are outstanding and then making the case for how much more outstanding it can be, you know, so someone can look at it and be like, these two schools are doing these world first. And if we put them together, then like, this is the kind of opportunities that we're offering. Cause I do know, you know, talking to Joanne DeStefano and conveying the message from the president, furthering the academic mission at Cornell is what IT is supposed to be the best at here. When I asked compared to all of our peers, what should we be doing? They said, make it the best place for students to want to come and for new faculty to show up so that we can, you know, continue on doing really cool stuff. So this is, I can, you know, just listen to how everybody is and this very familiar situation in IT and, you know, culture and identity is really tough. You know, it's a big problem. And then the transition too, it's like everybody kind of says, hey, we picked a new name and a new logo and then we're good. But it's like, no, there's another 2 years worth of work of just trying to figure out how to, you know, change the computer prefix from IPP to facilities or something along those lines. So I, you know, from what I was limitedly able to hear. Right. Yeah. And back again, man. But, you know, I can, being a non, you know, faculty representative, you know, ICIT doesn't really have faculty, I can just say that I can sort of hear your case for the potential of like, let's take two things that are really good, put them together and make them great or fantastic so that people from the outside can see really what we're doing and the value we add. But there is definitely a lot of emotions, as I'm sure you're aware.
Thank you, Chris. We have time for two more questions. Kim?
Kate.
Kate, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm a new member of the Assembly, Kate Sue Brown. And to state what I guess is a question, but the other is just sort of an obvious, it's kind of just an obvious statement. It's not like you're going to look at the eight ideas and say, this is the best one and this is the one that we're going to do.
Right.
You're looking at them and they're not mutually, having read through them, they're not mutually exclusive.
Right.
You could say, we're going to do these two, or we're going to do these two and a half, or these the blend of these ones.
Yeah.
Many of them are supportive of each other, and they're not necessarily in conflict with each other or with, you know, I mean, some of them certainly combining two schools is in conflict with, into one is in direct conflict with having two separate schools, but they're not in conflict with the with what's the good things that have been happening.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that's exactly right.
All right, so it wasn't really a question, it was an observation. for which I was asking for affirmation of my observations.
Observation.
Anything else? Oh, Provost, yes.
I just got one, I think.
Okay.
You have it?
I'm just going to you.
I do have one question, and it's maybe to help strengthen your argument about the investment in social sciences over the years. Have you pulled the same numbers for the other three disciplines to see how it compares, whether it's percentagely more than the others or less?
So I think your answer...
Well, the growth number is in there. So the growth number is the 15% in social science departments relative to 5% university-wide.
Okay.
Which means the other three are less than five.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Very, very good discussion.
Thank you all for being here with us. We appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for lunch.
Yes, we'll take 5 minutes for transition. For our guests here, thank you all for being here this afternoon. Hope you have a nice day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks,
good
Dave.
To see you.
Any day now.
Any day. That's what
So thinking about that, so in human ecology, there's fiber science and apparel design.
Yeah, and there's definitely some interaction.
Right, I can see, you know, where that department might need to be thought about how it structures and where it aligns with.
True. I know material science do a lot of work.
Yeah. So maybe it's not.
I agree. I mean, because it's.
Maybe it is kind of bad that engineering isn't talking about it.
Like, even
I don't know.
I'll ask.
You left your friend, and I just put it over with Gina so she could take it for you.
Basically, yeah. And I don't understand. I understand the ILR and CHE.
Thank you.
And why that's getting a lot of traction. But there's a lot of other good ideas in there that I think should be explored. Maybe if it is, you know, combining colleges to create
Okay, so while folks are still getting their food, I'd like to take the time to make a couple of announcements. First of all, the folks that participated in our recent tabling event at the vendor show really want to thank those that were able to help us set up with cleanup, with visiting with our colleagues on the floor of air-conditioned Barton Hall.
Oh, yeah.
We had a fan near us, so it was like, wow, Arctic.
What?
But thank you all for doing that. I think it was, we got a lot of cubes passed out for sure. the Board of Trustees meeting that took place on the 25th, I think that it was well received as far as the presentation. And so that's a big check in the block for us. Didn't get thrown off the floor. And we have, last week, we briefly met the executive committee with members of the Employee Welfare Committee and Personnel Policy Committee to talk a little bit more regarding the Cornell University retirement plan. And the purpose of that discussion was not to solve any problems. The purpose of the discussion was to look at some of the requests for information that we had talked about at our last meeting that we voted. We were going to request more information from stakeholders on campus. I will tell you that at the end of that hour, we still don't have a clear conclusion on that. So Laura Kelly Johnson is out of town this week, but once she gets back, what I'd like to propose is that we take a little bit of time during our summer retreat to address those issues and really come up with a concise list of the information items that we'd like to pursue. On the note of the summer retreat, I'd like to propose two potential dates. One is Wednesday, June 27th, and the alternate is Friday, August 10th. With the idea of keeping July clear, with the majority of folks probably taking vacation during that time and so forth. So, Gina, would it be easiest if we sent out a Google Doc request? So we'll put that out to the assembly, a doodle poll to see where we can get the majority of folks' participation. And we will also be, Hey and Pilar will be working with the OA with regard to a venue and where we will potentially be having that event.
Can you say the two dates again?
Yes, June 27th, which is a Wednesday, and also August 10th. And you're talking about
the minutes. No.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
For June 27th.
And we're going to, yes.
Do you have an idea of the time frame that you have for that?
It's a day.
6 o'clock in the morning, fitness starting out.
Gonna run us through our paces.
You will let us know how that works out for you.
No, I'm thinking 9:30 start time to a 3:30 okay. finish to give everybody an opportunity to either check in at their offices and then check back out or whatever it might be necessary, but kind of the midday with lunch provided. And some refreshments. So at this point, yes, and some danishes to start today. So I'd like to ask if there is any changes to the minutes from our last meeting that anybody would like to raise. Is there any dissent to approve? No? All right. The minutes
I have a
are.
Question.
Yes. Thank
Sorry,
you.
I didn't get these emailed to me and I didn't find them online.
Okay, so I have two answers that I think might help clarify. The first one is the listserv has just been updated, and so we have tried, I think not completely successfully, to make sure all of our new members saw the any announcements. For example, I think you didn't know about the ILR presentation from the social sciences report at our last meeting. So that listserv is now updated. However, the minutes, due to Kat being out for the summer, the minutes were not circulated in the same fashion, but they should be up on Box now.
Everything's actually on our website. So if you go to meetings, an EA meeting, and you select today's meeting, there's a full meeting packet, the agenda, the Zoom link, if you ever need to be remote.
Okay, I wasn't there this morning.
No, I guess I did it around
9:30.
Oh. So you might have been in transition.
Okay.
Typically, we do it sooner, but
okay.
Andrea,
I would just want to point out with the lovely clutter filters, a lot of my EA stuff ends up in my clutter.
Oh.
So I've had to adjust it a little bit, but even with it, there's been times that I've gone back and I'm like, I haven't gotten anything, and there it is in clutter. So yeah,
sometimes
for new members,
I have much more relevant information emails in my clutter than in my actual email.
Yes, exactly. No rhyme or reason.
I got rid of clutter.
I'm sorry?
I got rid of clutter. It was causing too many issues for me.
Right. I can't. Right. I manage a couple of boxes, so it's hard to do that. I get it would just be voluminous. But
what I've done is I take the that was happening to me. Mm-hmm. So I would transfer it to my inbox, like five of them in a row, and then open them
and
in inbox. So then it automatically came to my inbox.
You can also set a rule in clutter that anything that says Cornell in it be moved right into your inbox. So that's what I did. And it works. So now anything that comes up with Cornell goes into my inbox.
I put a motion to approve the minutes.
Oh yeah.
Second.
Minutes are approved. All right. Thank you. Yeah. So, and maybe Chris Barth, maybe at some point you can give all of us an IT class. Just as a reminder, so those 2 days, June 27th, August 10th, we'll send out a doodle poll to see where we can get the majority of folks participating. The next item that I'd like to look through is our committee assignments going forward. And for the committees that we have within the Employee Assembly, for those that we aren't able to completely populate today, we obviously have a lot of folks that are absent today. We will again continue to do that at the summer retreat and then moving forward. So if you have a specific interest in a particular committee, I would ask that we, do you think that the easiest way to do this would be through the executive committee?
Well, we could do it through me as the vice chair of internal operations.
Okay.
But we wanted those that feel they are interested in chairing a committee to give their nominate themselves and or their availability. So for example, we did do the last one that Carrie would continue as the communications chair. So we're good with that. The Employee Education and Development Committee, which was Marjorie, and I know you've asked to not be chair anymore. So if anyone is interested in chairing the Education and Development Committee, please let me know. You do that now or when I start emailing everyone.
Can you just what chairing a committee entails?
So you would be responsible to to be the lead on the e-list, set up meetings, agendas, if tasks come up or possible resolutions, issues that are associated under that, you would be the one to get information, request information, possible draft resolutions, bring it forward. With the education one, I think, well, Marjorie, you can also give some information as to, because you just
that's basically it, and like scheduling scheduling the meetings and getting people together and recruit people, so yeah,
topics that are important in those areas,
speakers that might come,
and that's for all of the committees realistically.
And I also want to reiterate one thing that I mentioned at the last meeting. Tanya has said that she would continue as chair unless somebody would like to step up to take over as chair of the Staff Awards and Recognitions Committee. But she also said that if somebody does step up to become the chair, that she would also remain on the committee in a supporting role.
And as EA members, we encourage you to be participating in at least two committees. So you don't necessarily have to chair it, but you're participating in two, and therefore obviously we need someone to chair them. So again, the Employee Education Committee, we need Employee Welfare as well. The Elections Committee, those of you that have just been newly elected, not Marcy, who is on a one-year term, only you are eligible to run the Elections Committee, because obviously those of us that didn't run this year are going to be up next year and we can't participate in the elections. So those of you that are new, and yes, Andrea?
Laura does not want to chair the Employee Welfare Committee.
I haven't heard yes or no.
I think that she's planning to step down as chair, but to still be a participant in the committee.
Okay. Yeah. So the same with the elections. Again, those of you that are new would need to step up. And that is working hand in hand with the Office of Assembly, making sure the calendar runs correctly, that we get the material out, that we recruit, you know, the get new candidates and so on. Personnel policy, I believe, I haven't heard, yeah.
Everything we do as a team.
Yeah.
So don't feel like if you are stepping into one of these roles that you're going to be taking on a burden all by yourself. We are going to support you. And we're going to ensure that if you have questions that you need answered, we will do everything we can with our colleagues in the other assemblies, as well as the offices of assemblies, to get those answers. So I don't want you to feel as if you're kind of stepping out on your own. We're going to be stepping with you, shoulder to shoulder, and working together in any of these efforts. And one real quick thing, why don't we go around the room real quick and introduce ourselves?
Yes,
since this is our first meeting of the new year. So Andrea, can we start with you?
Sure. Andrea Hamlin-Mott. I am not with IPP. I'm with Facilities and Campus Services, our new name, thankfully, at least for the next year.
Yep.
Who knows? We'll change again, but hopefully not. I was on the naming committee, so hopefully not. Yeah.
I'm Marjorie Mizarif. I represent the College of Art, Architecture, and Planning.
David Heiner. I am in Human Ecology, but I represent the LGBTQ plus population at Cornell.
Chris Dawson, representing College of Engineering and Computer and Information Sciences.
Ann Sieverding.
Hi, Laura.
Tanya Grove, I work with Organizational Development and Talent Management, and I represent Human Resources.
Arlo Horgan, representing College of Med. I manage the PhD program there.
I'm Craig Wiggers, veteran at large.
Pilar Thompson, the international representative.
Kevin Fitch, Environmental Health and Safety, and CU Police.
Gina Giambattista from the Office of the Assemblies.
Marcy Benda, I work at the Vet College, and I'm the Women's Representative at Large.
I'm Ellen Miller, I work in the Weill Institute, and I'm non-exempt employee representative.
I'm Kate Zufram, I work in the Office of Community Relations, and I am a representative for the Division of University Relations.
I'm Andy Brooks. I work at the Vet College. I'm the representative at large.
I'm Herb Sheldon. I don't work.
That's your job.
Actually, I was telling Andrew that I wish I had a job so I'd have some free time. I'm share with Peggy Anderson, the retiree seat. And since I'd like to segue right into mentioning the Cornell Retiree Association liaison as far as staffing. I'd like to make that part of this seat because we're easy. And the other thing, while I mention it, is that because there's two of us, I'd like to probably next year put us on alternate years so there's continuity in the seat. Okay. With the retirees.
Yeah.
It's, you know, one retiree can't always do this. So having two and having some continuity so that we reelect one a year.
We was also Pam in the back.
Oh,
hi, Pam Hampton, Office of the Assembly.
Thanks, Pam. And we had Chris Barth, who was with CIT. I don't think he's still there. So we've just got a couple other quick announcements I'd like to turn over.
Sorry.
Yes.
How do we indicate which committees we're interested
yeah,
in?
How do we join the committee?
Yeah.
So I will go ahead and email the group and just give, because there's quite a few people missing today. So if you are, or you can preempt and email me and let me know what you are interested in, what you want to do, and then we'll go from there. But normally there aren't that many takers.
Can I make a suggestion? We have a tool that's available.
Yes.
Please.
They could just apply to the committees online on our website, and that way we would know that through that, and you could put in the essay section your preferences, maybe first choice, second choice, or something like that. But
and so the only exception to that would be if somebody wanted to be the chair.
Chair.
Right, they can send you, but I mean.
I was going for the chair in a sense. I mean, everyone else has to sign up, but the chair one I think would be good for us to.
Yes.
I just think
we have to apply.
Oh.
And if you've already applied, when would you?
It's just
I didn't hear back.
Because we just turned over access, so I couldn't access the online systems as that until
and I don't
everyone.
Remember what I
it's there. I saw. So let me know.
Now you're on three.
Yeah.
No.
Yes, Andrea.
I've got someone from IPP that's interested in participating on committees. How is it that?
From Facility Services.
Excuse me. No. It's Facilities and Campus Services. We didn't want to keep it consistent, but someone from our actual division of FM, Facilities Management. Who's very interested in participating.
Yes.
Okay.
And I know you have people outside of
yep.
the team members
yep.
that
yep.
are doing that. So how does
so
how
normally, as Pam said, in the website, there is an application for anyone to apply.
Right.
But then the chair's role, the vice chair can also manipulate it, but the chair also has to take a bit of responsibility in then receiving those requests and or recruiting. So if there's a low number of individuals,
right.
you would then try to recruit. You could work with communications to get the word out. But that application in the online system is there. That's kind of why we need the chair of the committees first in order to then deal with the request and manning of the committees.
Gotcha.
Staffing, sorry. I apologize.
So we have one last thing. Before I turn it over to Tanya. So we had earlier voted to have a meeting on June 20th. I would like to propose that we cancel that meeting in lieu of the upcoming retreat. But I would need somebody to put a motion. All right. Can I put a motion out?
Yeah, you're
the chair.
A motion to cancel the June 20th meeting.
Second.
Okay. Great, so that is canceled. So I would like to turn over to Tanya.
Okay, so really quickly, in the work that I do in organizational development talent management, we always look for tips and tricks that can help employees just think about how they do their work differently and whatnot. And we've been given the opportunity, and a couple of us have been testing out this new piece of software called ProHabits, which essentially is an online system. It will send you an email daily and you pick what's called a track. So if you're saying, I want to be a little more innovative. I want to think about how I can be a little more innovative. You can select that track. Or I want to be better at giving feedback or better at being a team player, that sort of thing. You can select a track and they will send you an email daily that gives you a little tip or trick to consider doing that day. So an action. And you have a choice. You can say, I commit to this, or I choose not to commit to this today. And the idea is that you go forward and you do it. And then at the end of the day, it will say to you, did you do that today? And you click on it and you can say, yes, I did, or no, I didn't. So it's just like a little reminder type of thing. So I'm doing mine and I pulled it up. So I'll tell you what mine is for today. I'm doing one on pro empowerment.
Tell 10 people they're special. That's what.
So, you know, so here's my, yes, it's kind of in that vein. But so mine today is to think big picture. And it says, today, let a team member know what their work or current project means to the overall goal of the project or the team itself. Feedback can help learners see the progress they're making towards the target. So I need to go out of my way today to make sure that I let someone who I'm working with, be it in my office or elsewhere, how their work impacts the bigger project. And so Cornell's testing the software, and we're asking people across campus, little pockets of groups to do it. And one recommendation was that we ask the EA to participate to help us make a decision on if we should launch this for the campus community. If we launch for the campus community, it's something that will have a small cost, roughly $5 a month. So if it was something that you want to do, I've been doing it for about 3 months now. And it's just kind of interesting, and it's that constant reminder of, oh, I should actually thank my colleagues for their work, or I should involve someone in a conversation, or different things like that. So what I'm asking is, if you think that you guys would be interested in doing it, we can send it out to the group. If you say, I don't want to do it, you just don't ever sign up, and you don't do it. If anybody's interested in doing it, we'll probably launch that in the next couple weeks. And you'll have essentially 3 weeks that you'll get this, and it's fun when you commit and say you do it. It tells you how many streaks you have. So like if you're a big Snapchat person, how you get those kids doing Snapchat streaks. I don't do it, my kids do. But you can see how long you've been doing and how well, and you can comment and say, I like this exercise, I didn't like this one, kind of thing.
Great. Thank you, Tanya. I want to thank everybody for the participation in the discussion earlier today with our guest. I think that was a really nice discussion, and it was nice to hear both perspectives from members of ILR, which many of us have read about, human ecology, and directly from the provost and the co-chairs. So thank you for your participation in that. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being members of the Employee Assembly. This is we can serve a very important function within shared governance here on campus, and we have a lot of new faces, new energy coming to the table, and we sincerely appreciate your time and your commitment to pushing ideas forward and being voices of our constituents. So thanks again for that. With that being said, are there any final notices? Yes, Pam.
Tina.
Sorry.
Zoe. We'll just go with that. I just wanted to remind everybody, if you haven't already voted in the employee elected trustee election, the voting is open until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. It's a very simple URL. If you want to do it right now, you could do it. vote.assembly.cornell.edu. It'll pull up your personal, you have to log in with your NetID. There's three candidates. Rank them.
Four?
Three.
There were four. One her employment eligibility wasn't going to disqualify her. So.
Oh.
But there are three candidates. It's important that you rank them all. And we should have a new employee elected trustee tomorrow afternoon. So thank you.
Any other announcements? Gina.
Pam.
I may have missed it, but make note of the letter from Vijay Hemsker and Angela Winfield that was in relation to EAR8. I printed a copy at your request.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. All right.
It just as a point of reference, that resolution is on the website and all the associated information, so you can see the president's response and then this letter there as well. If you wanted to, if there were other constituents that you know that wanted to be able to look at it more deeply.
Thank you very much. With that, the meeting is adjourned, and we'll get the doodle polls out soon. Thank you all.
Thank
Have a
you.
Great day.
Yeah.
That was a nice cause. It was surprising how
Together
the president was.
So my heart is
Did you not say
I'm sorry.
But they hit it off.
That's what I figured out.
She did a lot of Ironman and marathons.
You know what's so funny?
It's funny, my son's doing the VR rep, and I'm center rep, so it's fine. And then I have a VR on Sunday, I have a 4 and then a 6. Yay! Good job! I went to the train with my son, so when I was at church, I was like,
I know you don't.